What's up, everybody? Before we get into the episode, I just want to tell you fast kind about our sponsors here at the podcast. First, we got the Grow Guru Hawaii. If you've ever wanted to grow your own medical cannabis, hit up my boy Kale at the Grow Guru on Instagram, and he can set you up and take care of you and teach you all you need to know. And you can stop fucking around with overpriced dispensaries or shady black market deals and start growing your own medicine. And you know, Hawaii's probably going to be rec legal soon, so you might as well grow your own recreation. But thanks, Kale, for sponsoring the podcast. Fucking next, we got Pakalolo Seed of Molokai. Check out my boy Bong of Pakalolo Seed on Instagram, or Pakalolo Seed on Instagram. You can also find their seeds on theattitudeseedbank.com and puresativa.com. So once you've gotten all your knowledge and shit from Kale, you can go hit up Bong and put the two together and make a happy third, which would be you smoking your own medicine. Lovely. Next, we got Retro Designs from Hawaii. My boy Jerry has got you covered in the throwback clothes department. You know, if you're into fucking 90s and 80s styles of local Hawaii clothes, make sure you hit up my boy Jerry at Retro Hawaii on Instagram. He's also the owner of Kampanya Lures, so check out his website and look for the Retro Hawaii section. And last and definitely not least, we got audible.com. If you go to audibletrial.com/voicesfromtheplanet, you can get yourself a free 30-day trial of audible.com. They got a ton of fucking audiobooks, right? And with your 30-day trial, you get one free audiobook download that you get to keep, even if you don't keep the subscription. So once again, that is audibletrial.com/voicesfromtheplanet. All right, that's it. Short and sweet. Let's get into this episode. Love you guys. Peace. Buddy, welcome back to another episode of Voices from the Planet. I am your host, Eric. Thank you again for joining me. First, I'm just gonna talk about it real quick. DMX passed away. One of very few influential, groundbreaking, I guess, rap artists, hip-hop artists. And I know what maybe you guys are thinking. It's going to be like, oh, he's going to be like sad and talk about his, you know, his connection to DMX and all that shit. But yes and no, I'm not like broken up about it. I hadn't listened to DMX's music in fucking probably over 20 years. And if I had, it was probably the music from 20 years ago. But I will share some stories about my connection with DMX, the rapper. So let's take it back, fucking. Let's rewind time to fucking, I don't know, was it like 1999? Maybe 1998, 1999, 2000. I was a junior, maybe a senior in high school when I first heard of DMX and instantly was attracted to that style of music. I was already into hip hop. Like I wouldn't say I was like a hip hop head. Like I wasn't a huge fan of hip hop. I liked all kinds of music, but I was definitely starting to like tap into hip hop and the culture and all that shit, and like really fucking connecting with a bunch of different music or the different hip hop artists and shit. And we started breakdancing and all this shit, but that's besides the point. So, you know, DMX came into our lives and into my life and had a big impact. At the time, me and my friends, we decided that our crew in high school, we were going to call ourselves the Rough Riders. Kind of just like a troll before we even knew what trolling was, but we liked it. I mean, we were fucking down. We weren't like gangsters or fucking, I wouldn't even call myself a tough guy, but like it was fun. It was like our thing, like we're the fucking Rough Riders, like fucking, you know, like we were repping fucking DMX's crew. I'm sure if we ever met any of those people in real life, they would have beat the shit out of us. But we had fun. We like made our own t-shirts and shit. And like, I don't know how you guys do it in your high school, but when we were seniors, we took a senior class photo with like the whole 400 plus fucking senior class in our school gym. So we had all these shirts made that were matching with Rough Riders on the front and fucking like our names and like numbers on the back, like it was a jersey. They were blue. I don't know why they were blue. It's not like we were like repping Crip or anything like that. We definitely weren't gangsters. But like for a moment in my life when DMX came out, like that's probably all we fucking listen. I can't speak for everybody in the crew, but like I only listened to DMX, so much so that two of my friends at the time, Emily and Gina, who I used to give rides to and from school because they lived near me. I knew them since like elementary school and they lived in my PO. So we basically gave them rides and they would get like so irritated. They'd be like, all you fucking listen to is fucking DMX every time. And, you know, this is like, you know, late 90s going into the 2000, the turn of the millennia, and fucking sounds were a big thing. So I had like crazy loud fucking sounds in my Jeep and we would fucking bump DMX like it was nobody's fucking business. And we would fucking, yeah, and they would hate it. They'd be like, change this shit. And I would get so pissed off. I think I even threatened like, don't ride with me anymore. You know what I mean? Like, get the fuck out then if you guys don't like my music. Which in retrospect, you know, I was being an asshole because I was playing it way too loud and just the same shit over and over. But that was my car, it's my music, so I get to choose. You shut the fuck up. If you don't like it, you can get out. But like, that's how much I only wanted to listen to DMX. Like, I even fucking, and I'm sure other people did too, but I fucking wore a fucking dog collar, like the chain like DMX wore. And I fucking had a decal made with the fucking Rough Riders logo and put it on the back of my Jeep. Like I was actually a part of the Rough Riders. I think at the time I was the only one with the car. But I'm going to go out on a limb and say that if my other friends had cars, maybe they would have done the same. Or maybe I was just a total fucking geek. And I was like, I'm going to put this shit on my car. Like, I'm a fucking Rough Rider. But, and it's funny, dude. The fucking black chicks in our school fucking hated us. Fuck, bro. I can venture a guess as to why. But it's so dumb. Like, we weren't seriously thinking we were a part of, like, the Rough Riders. You know what I mean? Like, we just named our little crew. I don't know how many of us there was, but it was like the boys were the Rough Riders and the girls were, what was it, BST? I don't know if Gina, them, Emily, if you actually listen to this, but BST was Blood, Sweat, and Tears. That was their little chick click, and the boys were the Rough Riders, and that's like who our fucking crew was in high school. Like the fucking T-Birds and the fucking Pink Ladies. You know what I'm saying? Modern day fucking Greece. And then we came up with like fucking a racing crew, because at the time, like, there was a ton of fucking like racing crews with like Honda imports and shit. So we fucking made Stock Racing, where the only like prerequisite you needed to get into this car club was that your car had to be stock, which all of our friends were. So we fucking, everybody was in the fucking car club, and we had stickers made of that shit. Like, excuse me, Jesus, fucking, like, we made up so many different crews during this fucking time. Like, there was the WBA, which was the YPO Boarders Association, which was primarily made up of bodyboarders and shit, like my friend Chase them. But it also extended to like skateboarders and surfers. So it was like, there was that fucking crew. There was fucking one time for one assembly when we got like permission from the school to like breakdance in front of the senior class. Like, fucking, like, they gave us permission, but there was some sort of like, you can't like actually go on the ground. So it was like, kind of lame. But for that, like, I think we made a crew name called the BSB. And then people were like, what, Backstreet Boys? And we're like, oh, hell no, it's not the Backstreet Boys, it's the Beach Street Boys. Which, whatever, that was for one fucking assembly. But like, we actually went on stage in our auditorium in front of our senior class, and I don't even remember what the fuck it was for, but I remember being, we were all backstage like, we're gonna fucking do this. They said we can't fucking do it, but like, some of us were gonna fucking chance it and just fucking like bust some shit, and if we get busted, we get busted, whatever. So fucking my friend Jesse and Sean, who are like super good guitar players and singers, so they fucking are playing, they go up on stage and they start playing a Backstreet Boys song, I think, and singing it on their guitars, like acoustic, and fucking, like, I forget exactly what the fuck happened. I should fucking have them on. And fucking, he came on, like, they're like, said, I'm trying to remember, I'm sorry. But they paused or something. I was like, nah, that's exactly what they said. It's like, the Beach Street, Backstreet Boys? Nah, it's not the Backstreet Boys, it's the Beach Street Boys. And then fucking, like, whatever breaking song that one was, that was like, that one, Electric or Planet Rock, fucking, that came on, and then we all fucking came out from the sides and formed the half circle. And my homie fucking Lance, shout out to LG, fucking goes up in the middle and fucking busts like some shoulder rolls or fucking something. And immediately they cut the music and we all like, ah, and we fucking like run off the stage and like ditch the fucking auditorium and like reconvene in the parking lot, which is right outside anyways. But yeah, that was good fun. I don't think anybody got in trouble, because they couldn't tell. Lance like had pulled his hood down super low on his jacket and like scrunched up the cords so he couldn't see his face or whatever. So fucking good times. And then we also, another breaking crew we had was the Dysfunctional Floor Monkeys. Which, monkeys in my life have kind of played a reoccurring theme. But it actually started off from my sister, to be honest, because she was in love with monkeys and all things monkey when she was in like high school and growing up and shit. So when we made the dysfunctional Floor Monkeys breaking crew, which was actually kind of like a legit fucking breaking crew, like we actually got together and practiced and like knew like actual like b-boys and shit who taught classes at Hyper Squad, so we'd get access to go break and fucking practice at Hyper Squad in YPO. It also helped that we knew all the girls that danced there too, and like they were our friends and shit. But fucking the logo for that breaking crew was actually from my sister's, or one of the tattoos my sister had of a monkey, and it was like this kind of like grumpy looking monkey. But anyway, so thanks to her we got the logo, and fucking thanks to graphic design classes in high school we were able to silk screen and make shirts. So we all had shirts for the breaking crew, and we thought we were like the shit. We weren't that bad, you know what I mean? But we actually did battle another group of b-boys from our school. I don't know what their fucking name was. Efren and fucking, I can't remember the rest of their names, but they were our friends too, so it wasn't like like, you know, a real fucking like beef. It was like for fun. But back then, I guess it was 99 maybe, because we were seniors, maybe 2000 already. But they used to have these like b-boy battle events at Blaisdell Park in Pearl City. I guess that's IAEA actually. But fucking lay out the linoleum tile and have fucking people battle it out. And we fucking agreed to battle these guys in front of actual fucking like legit b-boys. Like my friend Lance, his brother Layton, who's also my friend, but he was like known in like the b-boy community in Hawaii, because he had like crazy power moves and shit, and like nobody could understand how it was physically possible that he was able to pull this shit off. But he would just bust out like amazing shit. And then, you know, we were friends with the Hyper Squad guys, so fuck, it was good fun. Like nobody, I don't think any of the other guys took us serious, because they were like real serious fucking b-boys and shit. But we battled. I don't even remember what the outcome was. We probably won though. But yes, we had all these different crews, and back to DMX, like Rough Riders was one of those crews that like my friend Bryson sent us a video today in our group text thread of his high school ring. And on the inside of it, he has engraved Rough Rider. Like, we were fucking serious about this shit. You know what I'm saying? And fucking, I never got a class ring, but you know what I mean? We were fucking down for that shit in our own way. We weren't trying to rob and steal people or kill people or anything like that, or trying to be actual gangsters. But we had fun. I mean, that was our crew, so people didn't like it. Some people didn't like it. Man, that's fucking crazy, man. He was supposed to come to Hawaii like twice and do two shows. Like on two separate, you know what I mean? Like he did one, but like he canceled both of them, which sucked, because we were fans. You know what I mean? That would have been super cool to be able to see him live in person. But unfortunately, that didn't happen. But whatever. That was 20 fucking years ago, so who really gives a shit? And I was asking my friend Jesse, and I was like, did we fucking, like, I don't think I ever pursued getting my money back. And he was like, yeah, we never got fucking refunds, so charges to the game, I guess. Guess that's how it goes. But so I just wanted to share that. So, I mean, it's not like I was super sad, but it's kind of a bummer. So, you know, for that weekend, this past weekend, just reminiscing and listening to DMX, even though, you know, I haven't listened to it for over 20 years, and just being reminded of all the fucking times when we just would drive around and slam fucking DMX in my Jeep and just fucking go crazy, because that shit gets you fucking hyped, bro. It makes you want to fucking, like, even I was listening to it, I was like by myself on Saturday on the way to our dog trainer session. Or I don't want to say dog trainer, that's like not giving him his credit, like our pet rehabilitation specialist, I don't know, he's like the shit. But driving there, listening to fucking DMX, like the shit, like, gets you fucking hyped. Like, I felt like it was raising my adrenaline level. Like, I wanted to fucking punch somebody in the face, you know what I mean? Makes you want to fucking talk a little bit lower and shit and be like, and just fucking kind of growl a little more. I don't know what the fuck it is. And when you really think about it, like, barking, like, maybe if you have a dog barking and you actually have a real dog, but, like, to ad-lib and make those dog barks yourself, I mean, to me, like, it was kind of silly, but that was the whole fucking thing about it, right? It's like, it's the fucking dog, you know what I'm saying? The Dark Man X. Fuck, man. We would get so fucking hyped over that shit. As if those songs were written by us, for us. They weren't, obviously. But you couldn't tell us fucking that. Yeah, rest in peace, fucking Earl Simmons. I really wish I could have seen him in fucking person. There's a lot of people I wish I could have seen in person before I developed this phobia of being in large fucking crowds. Like, we went to go see fucking Bruno Mars when he came back home and did a show at Aloha Stadium. Oh my God, there was so much fucking people. It was a fucking nightmare. Like, even just trying to, like, leave at the end, is like a sea of fucking people, and all I want to do is get to my car and get out. But even when you do that, you get there and there's fucking traffic that you gotta fucking sit in to leave the parking lot. I don't have the patience anymore at this fucking stage of my life. Like, everything else up until this point has spent up all the patience that I was allotted for this lifetime, and unfortunately going forward for all of these people and interactions I have, there's none left for you. You get zero fucking patience already. I'm tired, man. I'm getting fucking old. I'm gonna be fucking 39 this year, and that means next year I'm gonna be 40. Oh, Jesus Christ. Doesn't even fucking feel like that's, like, the case. You gotta talk to more 40-year-olds and see what the fuck they felt like when they turned 40. If it's, like, it's all mental, right? It's gotta be all in your head. Like, do I feel different? You know, like, the day before you turned whatever age you turned, do you feel different from that day? Or is it, like, just because now you're in this class of fucking ageism that you're expected to act a certain way? Because if that's the case, like, I missed that fucking boat a long time ago. That ship has sailed and I am not on it. I'm stuck on fucking early 20s island and not realizing that the island has evolved into almost 40ville. And my mentality is still like, fuck it. I'm in my motherfucking 20s. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, kind of, sort of, but not really. I mean, obviously, I've grown up a ton. I mean, I have a family. I have 2 fucking kids, 2 dogs. So I know we can't live our lives like we're in our 20s anymore. I'm just trying to be funny. Fuck. Trying to make this not so serious. because so much fucking crazy shit is happening in the world. In Hawaii too. Fuck, there was some crazy shit. What? Yeah. Like fucking some dude barricaded himself in a hotel room at the Kahala Hotel. Fucking like 10-hour standoff, and then he ended up killing himself. Fucking like 6 kids, was it? Fucking went on like a two-day crime spree, which ended in like a police shootout and a 16-year-old kid being fucking killed. Fucking, there's just been like an increased, I don't know, maybe I'm just more, everybody's more aware of it, but like the violence, the level of the fucking crimes, like, yeah, there's always fucking crimes. I'm sure people are always getting murdered, but like, like just the severity of it, the frequency of it, it just seems like it's a lot more and a lot worse lately. And fucking shootings on the mainland and shit. 2 cops got shot by somebody. They don't even know why. I think there was like a fucking mass shooting. Another one. Like, it's just crazy to me. And yeah, call me a conspiracy nut if you want, but you gotta look at the fucking timing. It's like all this talk about fucking gun control and, you know, like, it is, seems as if it's in response to all the gun violence that seems to be popping off. Maybe not a good choice of words, but all that gun violence that seems to be happening. That, you know, all these politicians and shit get on and talk about, you know, we need to introduce this fucking legislature and blah, blah, blah. And like, those bills don't get written overnight. So like, they have to have them, or like, they just are holding them and waiting for the right fucking tragedy to occur for them to roll out the policies, because they know like the sentiment of the people will be behind it. And it's just disgusting. Like, but, and you want to think like it's getting so much worse, like the violence, and but that's what we see here in America. Like, you gotta think about the rest of the world, like violence and death, and that shit is a regular fucking occurrence for most people outside of the US and Canada and major countries in Europe. But you know, you get the fucking point. Like, suffering, death, and disease, and that kind of shit, that's like every day for people out there. And I think we're just so, what's the word? We are pussies when it comes to the chaotic nature and brutality of fucking the world at the hands of our own fucking species. Like, look at fucking like regular nature, how fucking crazy violent that shit is. But that's survival, so that's different. But that's what I mean. Like, we do it to ourselves. Like, I know tigers fight other tigers and shit. For the most part, they leave each other alone and fuck up every other species they need to eat. But like humans, we just fuck with humans and every other species. Yeah, see, it's like we just want to fucking dominate everything. You don't reason with it. You don't fucking bargain with it. You just fucking dominate it. The one in Hawaii, though, that one's fucking kind of nuts, though. It's a tricky one to try to navigate with the nuances of, like, what happened and shit. Now, like, this is my best attempt at it, but apparently him, his kid, and a bunch of his friends, they stole a car one day from, like, Kaneohe side, and then proceeded to, like, did a couple home invasions and some armed burglaries. I think they snatched a purse. Like, they just were like crime springing around in this stolen car. And I guess a cop had seen them, so started pursuing them in like Hawaii Kai, and then ended up like Kalakaua area by like McCully. And fucking, like, I guess the story was like they tried to ram the cop cars and then fucking lost control. The car went down into like this canal. And eventually the cops ended up shooting and then killed this kid. But like, I mean, and social media is a fucking toxic wasteland, right? But leave it to people to comment shit like, they fucking deserved it, they're criminals. Like, so this kid alone, I mean, all these kids in this car have been like arrested fucking choke times for doing all kinds of fucking dumb shit. 16 years old, arrested fucking more than 30 times. And even if that is the case, which it is, fucking the cops don't need to be killing people, even fucking guilty people. I mean, that's not their job. They're the enforcers of the law, not the fucking executioners of the punishment. And it sucks sometimes that even for the cops, that they gotta be put in a position where they gotta make that decision to either kill someone or be killed. And I know there's always gonna be debate whether or not they should or shouldn't, but it's not easy to be a cop. Imagine like you are staring down your gun at a 16-year-old and you don't know if he has a gun. And if he pulls a fucking gun on you, like you, I know you don't want, like, I'm sure these cops don't want these guys, like, when you hear them saying like, don't fucking do it, like, sometimes like they're begging them like, don't fucking do it, like, show me your hands, like, fucking, some people, they don't listen, or I don't know, like the circumstances, the adrenaline, I don't know, I can't explain or justify or reason most of it because I've never been in either of their positions, but I can imagine, right? And I would assume that that cop doesn't want to pull the trigger on a 16-year-old kid, you know? It's nuts, man. And then they fucking... I just didn't think this was a good idea. So they had the kid's family doing like interviews on the news, and they had his older brother, who other people were pointing out was like recently on Hawaii's Most Wanted, and he's got a ton of fucking arrests under his belt. And it's like, he might not be the best representative of the family at this time. Like, so people were going hard at that guy, and like, I don't know, man. You got to feel for, I mean, he lost his brother. That sucks. That's really fucking heavy. Whether you're a criminal or not, you know what I mean? Whether you're a good guy or a bad guy. Like, you don't not feel sorry for someone just because they're a bad guy. I mean, I guess some people don't. But you got to try to empathize and putting yourself in other people's shoes. From time to time, not all the time, from time to time, you know. But, or like, imagine if that was your kid. Like, yeah, they've been fucking up. But, like, you see them as that baby still. Like, as that six-year-old who could do no wrong and was, like, full of love and fucking wonder for the world. You know, and 10 years later, he's fucking... running the streets with his friends, like, doing fucking gangster shit. Like, at some point, the parents are gotta be responsible for raising that kid. And, like, maybe he didn't have good male role models in his life. but I don't know. I don't think it's for us to fucking judge. It's just shitty that one, such a young fucking person lost their life. Because who knows, man? People turn their lives around. Maybe it wasn't the end for this fucking guy. But then again, maybe he would have just continued to fucking be a cog in the fucking wheel of the criminal justice system. But I don't know. It feels nicer to be like sympathetic. You know? It feels nicer. Is it nicer? I don't know. And that's why I said it's fucking difficult to navigate this fucking shit sometimes. Because not that I would think the victims of this kid's crime would want him to pay for his crimes with his life. Like, that's an unreasonable fucking, what's it called, punishment. But, like, I don't know, maybe there were some of them who were like, yeah, fuck that kid. I don't know. Maybe he really fucked over people. I shouldn't be talking fucking ill of the dead. So yeah, a lot of fucking lives lost every fucking day. Every fucking day. And those are just two I chose to talk about. Oh, Prince Philip died. Fuck, dude. That dude was old. There was like pictures of him where he looked like he died like 2 weeks ago. And they're fucking driving home a fucking corpse. Why is it okay for me to make jokes about fucking Prince Philip being dead? I don't know. Because it's not so close to home, maybe. It's like not as personal. Nobody's going to hear me making jokes about Prince Philip and want to beat my ass. But I don't really want to make jokes about dead people. Like I said, even if they were bad guys, try to be sympathetic. Man, with all this crazy shit going on, it's like, I don't know if any of you ever fancied yourself a vigilante superhero. Maybe not even superhero, just hero. Trying to fucking right the wrongs in the world. But I think that's where people like lose their shit and go on killing sprees. So let's not go there. It's possible, right? It's funny now. Well, I guess part. Well, going back to DMX, because he, you know, he always had his pit bulls. He had that gigantic tattoo of his pit bull Boomer on his back. And now I have two fucking pit bulls, Peter and Miles. So, full circle, I guess. I never had pit bulls growing up. That was one thing I never was like, wanted to be DMX so bad that I wanted to get pit bulls or anything like that. But yeah, that's my DMX with a lot of fucking in-betweens in there. What else? What else? Honolulu police chief, what's her name? Susan Ballard is resigning, which I don't think anybody really gives a fuck about. Do you guys care? I don't care. Who gives a fuck? Kids are all back in school full time, which is nice. Happy they're fucking back normal. At least it's normal. I mean, as normal as it can be, they still got to do all that social distancing and fucking, I think they have the plastic shields up on their desks. But their full class is back for first graders. Not the whole school, but like there's a lot more kids back. No, is it the whole school? Maybe it is. So I think that's great. I'm happy about that, actually, that at least the routine of going to school and having that social time, albeit it is under these new fucking guidelines, but it's better than nothing, I guess. It's not fucking easy to work from home while homeschooling, so any parents who've made that decision to continue to homeschool your kids and shit when they have the option of going back to school, like, fucking good on you. Like, I am not that fucking capable. No, sir, I know my limits. But I mean, if I was emotionally and physically and mentally capable to do all that, like, that would be way better, I think. I don't think the whole mask thing at school is good for the kids. I mean, isn't it kind of known that, like, kids aren't really going to get sick and they not really, like, spreading it so much? I mean, schools haven't really been in, so we don't know how it's been affecting children, but we'll see, I guess. I just hope there's no, like, new surge. But from what I'm hearing, it sounds like they're kind of prepping us to just get ready for that, because all these new variants and fucking mutations they're talking about. So who knows when they're going to just pull those cards out. Be like, lock it back down, folks. Stay inside your house. Like, it's hard, man. It's hard on people's mental health. And then by people, I mean me. Crazy fucking times, right? Is that it? Yeah. I think that's pretty much it. So, till next time, folks. Make sure you check out our sponsors. The Grow Guru, a.k.a. Kalei, at The Grow Guru Hawaii. On Instagram, go check them out. And then we got at Pakalolo Seed. That's a bong of Pakalolo Seed. Go look them up on Instagram. Check them out. You can get seeds and shit from them. Go check out Retro Hawaii. All right, he's also making fucking, like, cutting boards now. This motherfucker is just, like, diversifying his fucking entrepreneurialness. Brother Jerry got his shit together. And then fucking audible.com for audiobooks for all your listening needs. Sure. All right. Till next time, check you guys out later. Love you guys. Peace.
Niggas getting trampled on, what's all the fuss about? Sucking my dick so hard, I'm busting in their mouth, and then I snuff them out. Fold to the mid, fuck what I did, with no regard for a bid. Wet you up while you with your kid, slid into the shadows, cause I'm dark like that. I bark like that, jet black, but I spark like that. But all they ask when I get thirsty, shit. Ain't a nigga strong enough to stand the worst it gets. Bits and pieces are all that's left. Niggas so scared to death, they hold their motherfucking breath. Till I pass, cause they ask and I smelled them. S-P-E-L-L-E-D-T-H-E-M, I spelled them. They make me have to swell one eye, lump up one head. Catch a body with the shoddy, pump up one dead. Red alert, niggas is about to get hurt.
through work skirt like a jack on the murder. Nighttime is the right time for creeping. Vandalize your crib, rape your wife while she's sleeping. I've been off the deep end since I was semen. That's why now I'm such a motherfucking demon. Screaming my bloody head off. Shit on my mind, I got to get off. Can't even hold the joint, that's a let off. A couple of rounds from the big 3 pound. Seven, that's about 1100 as of now. How can one man kill so many innocent people before the age of 20? Life ain't worth a penny in my book, faggot. That's why I took faggot shit. I'm a crook faggot, fat new leather jacket. I bag it along with the jewels, smacking tools out the hands of fools on the strength that they don't know what they holding. Niggas call me Taylor, cause the way that I be sewing. Shut up, cause I get up off my ass and skate. Making more moves than you hawk from state to state. I feed the great. And if a nigga tells you different, you turn around, you ask a nigga, fuck is you been sniffing? Cause when it come to ripping, I am the riffraff. And that's to say nothing. Niggas know to give half. Motherfucker. Bump Flex, Volume 3, the final chapter. Rough Riders, Irv Gotti, Def Jam.